I'd like to start with a moment of silence, and I've got a quick thing I was going to add here. Dorothy Cutter, who's one of our residents here in Morro Bay, and lives on, what's her street? She's down by Acacia. Her husband, Fred Cutter, wrote a book which was pretty incredible, and I'd like to quote just the first sentence of his book for our moment of silence, if that's okay. Fred Cutter writes in 1945, "Everybody is a survivor. Sooner or later, each person suffers from the loss of a close relative, friend, and in lesser degrees of acquaintances." Our moment of silence, if we could all just think of an acquaintance or a family member we've lost here in Morro Bay. Thank you all. Pledge of Allegiance. Commissioners, are there any announcements? Mike?
Yeah, I just wanted to announce to the commission that the council has been engaged in their goal setting sessions. So their first meeting was on April 4th. Their second meeting was on April 11th. And I believe their final meeting will be on 4/25, but I'll let Scott confirm that, to set their goals. But they've come up with four primary goals or preliminary goals for now, which is public infrastructure, economic vitality, housing, homelessness, and community engagement. So that's what the council has come up with. So I believe their next meeting, they will make those final goals. So I thought that this commission should know about those things. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for the work of attending those meetings as well. Any other announcements? Sure. Asia?
Some of you might remember that we're having a little Planning Commissioners book club, nothing fancy or official, but we will be in our next meeting starting 30 minutes early and having a really casual discussion of the book. It's called Architect Verb.
Comma Verb.
Comma Verb, yeah. And I've heard DeGraff is the... Yeah. Author, I think. Yeah. Anyways, it's quite good. It's an easy read. If anyone from the public would like to join, I think that they're welcome.
Yeah. So it'll be agendized as a special meeting, Scott. And we did discuss this with the city attorney.
We did both of, yes. We would agendize it. Right now, I think we don't actually have any items for the next meeting. There wasn't anything on there.
So if we don't have a next meeting, I don't think we'll do the book club.
Yeah, it'll probably go to the one following that. So, okay. All right. Yeah. I was going to announce that later on, so now is good.
Great. So, anything else, commissioners? Next, I'd like to go to public comment. Public comment up front is for anything not on the agenda, for anyone who would like to speak, either in person or on the Zoom. Or if you have to leave, you're welcome to comment on one of the agendized items. Anybody like to talk? Welcome. Give us your name, if you would.
Okay. Hi, my name is Richard Sadowski, and I'm here to speak on behalf of Homefront Environmental Justice. It's a grassroots group that we have, and one of the things that we were able to do in 2019, we got a Morro Bay Community Grant. We got a Morro Bay Community Grant for to kick off what we call the Morro Bay Estuary Air Monitoring Project. And what that is basically taking atmospheric carbon dioxide data around the Morro Bay Estuary as we study ocean acidification. We're currently collaborating with the Cal Poly Marine Science Department Carbon Lab, Dr. Bachman's class, who's studying ocean acidification in the estuarine waters. And we're also collaborating with the College Corps program, with two interns working on the project. We're at a situation right now where the meter that we have purchased to do our project, we're having some calibration issues, and we would like to complete the course. And so we're seeking funding so we can get another meter. The immediate goal is to get $5,000 so we can get another meter for the project to finish it. And the long-term goal is to install a stationary air monitoring station at the harbor building, which that long-term goal is more like a $50,000 bill. But I'm just reaching out to the community and asking if we can get some support on our project. It's a wonderful project that what we do is we go out with the interns, we go out to the estuary, while we get the students that are coming from Cal Poly's Carbon Lab, they go and take water samples, and we work with them and give them real-time atmospheric carbon dioxide data while they're getting their samples. Then they take that data, and then they do analysis. They're doing their analysis and in study of ocean acidification in the estuary and studying of eelgrass. And I want to just add that we are we've been blessed. We're going to be doing a field trip with Morro Bay High School this Thursday.
Wow.
And working where all our interns and the students are getting together, and we're just going to be doing a short presentation and get the learn by doing kind of action right there on Tideland. So
very nice. Richard, when you say we, who is we?
Well, our group, Homefront EJ, but
and you guys are just volunteers, or
yeah, we volunteer. We started up the project with Brom Webb in 2019, and now we're as volunteers we're doing that, and then
wow.
Working with the College Corps program. I'm going to just leave a couple of handouts in the
nice.
Back, so if you could come back and help us with the funding, and I have a couple of information where you can donate.
Nice. So thank you for doing that. And you had mentioned to me on the phone when we had spoken that you might want to invite your students to a planning commission meeting.
That's right. I'm planning on having them invite and do a presentation for you guys one of these days with the planning commission and also with the city council.
Wow.
And as a activist for years, one of the most satisfying things is to work with the young people. We learn as much from them as we can teach them.
Commissioners, I think we'd love to welcome the students here. So thank you for doing it, Richard.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else? Betty.
Good evening, Betty Winholtz. I noticed that two trees were cut on Shasta Street next to the Reed Building across the street from Chase Bank during nesting season just a little bit ago. And so I'd like to know if there's any information about why those trees were cut now. And I think they were posted, but I'm not sure. And so if they were posted, it was for 10 days, so I'm not sure of the immediacy of why they needed to be cut during nesting season. Thank you.
Thank you, Betty. Scott, can we get an answer on that? Is that something you could get back to Betty on?
Yeah, I'll follow up with the Public Works Department. I think it's part of an ongoing project that we have out there right now.
Thank you. Joe, comment?
Only that, as I'm on the Public Works Department, it occurred to me that question is probably better put to the Public Works Department.
Sure.
I'm grateful for Betty being here, but they have specific authority over that.
Thank you, Joe. Others who would like to speak in public comment? Anthony, anybody in the queue?
Thank you, Chair Roshan. Currently, I do not see any raised hands in the queue.
Thank you very much. If that's the case, I will close public comment and move on to the consent calendar. Commissioners, comments on the consent calendar? I do have one. In the agenda where we were setting goals for, I think it was the seashell thing, we gave comments, the commission did, to set expectations. None of those comments are listed in the minutes. I think it would be very helpful if we had those listed for the applicant, but as well as the record, because there's every chance that that case will be back. Could we add that to the minutes?
Absolutely. Okay. I'll add the comments back, and then I'll bring it back for you to adopt.
So was that the April 4th one, Scott?
Okay, yeah.
So right now we would be on the consent calendar just approving A1 and A2. A2 is the minutes for March 21st. Is that right?
Yes.
Commissioners, do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
Do we need a vote? We can just say aye.
That's fine.
Aye.
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 Okay. Motion passes 5-0. Thank you.
Let's move on to our public hearing. I'd like to introduce case number CDP 21-039/CUP 2113. This is at 545 Shasta Avenue. And
we are getting it up.
Is this a Cindy presentation?
This is a Cindy presentation.
Yeah. They're the best.
There we go.
Good evening, Chairperson Roshan and members of the Planning Commission. This project before you tonight is 545 Shasta Avenue. It is a request for a coastal development permit and conditional use permit for a modification of the existing T-Mobile wireless telecom facility at St. Peter's Episcopal Church. The project description specifically is to modify the existing telecom facility at this location. The applicant is proposing to remove the existing antenna equipment, Sprint antenna, that's within the existing rooftop cross on the main St. Peter's Church building. The church is requesting that that cross remain to minimize disruption to their building and also to maintain the church aesthetic. The project itself includes construction of a new 25-foot-tall, 7x7 faux bell tower, which would conceal upgraded wireless telecom antennas for T-Mobile. Sprint and T-Mobile have merged. And also include upgrades to associated equipment that is within the fenced storage area on the west side of the parking lot, 20x10 area. And that would include installation of new conduit for the connection from the battery equipment in the equipment area to the bell tower. Some existing property information. The property is roughly highlighted there in the blue figure. The overall property size is about 3/4 acre. The land use designation is medium density residential. This existing facility was permitted by the city with a coastal permit and use permit in 2007. It was originally permitted as a Sprint Nextel site. And at that time, the installation was approval for replacing an existing 26.5-foot cross on top of the main church building with a new 30.5-foot cross that currently today conceals a panel antenna, and that approval also included construction of that 20x10 fenced equipment area. Here's some current pictures today from the parking lot. This is on Shasta. And the zoning is R2. It's in the R2 zone district. The building itself, the bell tower, complies with the development standards for the primary zone district, and the project is located outside of the coastal appeals jurisdiction. This is application before the commission today is to upgrade that existing facility. In our newly adopted zoning code, stealth facilities such as this, where antennas are hidden from view or concealed, are permitted subject to conditional use permit approval, and that is why the item is before the commission tonight. Our zoning code section, chapter 17.30, states that freestanding facilities are required to be appropriately camouflaged to minimize visual impacts, and mounting on a building or co-location is the desired approach. but is allowed when co-location is not feasible. In this case, there is this existing facility. The project proposed, though, as the faux bell tower was proposed because it was found to be infeasible to upgrade the antennas based on the size of the cross and the retrofitting of the rooftop. The project, consistent with our zoning code requirements, is designed to minimize functional height and width, or to be the minimum functional height and width to support the antenna installation. And it does comply with the building height standards for the zone district, which is 25 feet from average natural grade. And this is the same image you saw before, but the white arrow on the screen shows the location where the bell tower would be constructed, which is immediately east or adjacent to that fenced storage area. This is the overall site plan, and I've added some notes on the site plan to read, help better decipher the plans. You see the church building and the church's parish hall building at the top of the screen. The square in the yellow is the location of the bell tower, and the existing equipment area is to the left of that. And then just pointing out the existing cross location and parking lot. This is a layout plan just for reference to show the antenna layout on the left. It's just one bell tower, but what the plans are showing there is the remote radio units in the bottom left of the screen shows in that, and then above, mounted above the radio units is the panel antennas, and it would be proposed six panel antennas constructed within that concealed bell tower. And then the fenced equipment storage area, which currently is surrounded by a six-foot fence, is proposed to have those upgrades there, which would include the upgraded battery cabinet and other related support equipment, and then the conduit, which would connect to the bell tower to the right there, on the right side of the screen. These next few slides show some proposed elevations that shows on the left is the main church building, and on the right is the parish hall building. And the image there on the right, you can, the antennas are inside the building, but it's showing you the outline of the squares of the approximate location of the antenna mounting inside the tower. This is from the east elevation and south elevation, and then west elevation there. The visual simulations that were submitted with the project, this is an image from the parking lot adjacent to Shasta, and shows that proposed T-Mobile installation, which is concealed in a faux bell tower. It's designed to match with the church. The project is proposing that it be painted to match the existing color of the church, and its design includes a short mansard-style roof, curved windows with louvers on all side, and stucco exterior finish to mimic the look of a church bell tower. And here's an image of that bell tower from Shasta Avenue, the other side. And then this is from looking from Anchor Street. The project did submit a RF report for hazards evaluations, and the RF emissions were determined. The conclusion of the report was that the project would be in compliance with FCC requirements, and they are requiring that signage be incorporated into the project consistent with FCC requirements. That's also included in your resolution before you, that is noted as Planning Condition 4. The construction of the faux bell tower provides an opportunity in this case for T-Mobile to meet its desired coverage objectives. It's upgrading the existing site and would meet current telecommunication needs, while also concealing with the site with the appropriate camouflage techniques, as the bell tower is consistent with the church use and as described in our zoning ordinance requirements. The project would not degrade the aesthetics of the site as described and appropriately screens the telecommunication equipment. I did want to add some additional information here just to kind of clarify on hazards. So I wanted to add, and I left this bullet point off, on hazards. I just wanted to clarify that due to the proposed mounting locations and the way that the bell tower is located, it would not be accessible to the general public. There would be signage that is both for occupational and for the general public, with warning signs that would be visible from any angle of approach. And it also describes this in the RF report that the antennas are mounted above ground level because of the need for that is because of the short wavelength of personal communication services. The way that this works is the antennas require a line of sight for good propagation, and that's why they are typically above. They are constructed to concentrate energy toward the horizon with as little energy as possible scattered toward the ground or sky. The project, this is one of those areas where the city's requirements are preempted. The FCC sets requirements for RF, and the conclusion of the report is that it would be compliant with FCC requirements and would not be allowed to operate without that clearance from the FCC. And so that leads me to my conclusion. Upon project review and evaluation, staff is recommending that the project be conditionally approved. The Planning Commission adopt Resolution 06-23, which includes findings and conditions of approval for CDP 21-039 and CUP 21-13, as shown on project plans received April 3rd. And with that, I'm available to answer any questions.
Cindy, thank you very much. Commissioners, before I open it for your questions, I have a question for Scott. Scott, a day ago, I was able to talk to the city attorney to get briefed on what our responsibilities and opportunities are around this kind of application. Do you want to give us a summation of what the city attorney advised?
Sure. So, you know, the thing that always comes up with wireless facilities is the impacts to health, life, and safety. We're preempted by federal law from weighing into those areas. That is entirely under the jurisdiction of the FCC, which is why you have a report in here that models what the emissions from the antenna would be. And shows you what the likely impacts would be for occupational and public interaction in this area. Shows that the antennas are compliant, with the emissions limitations in that area. And then report goes on to talk about the compliance with FCC emissions requirements for wireless facilities. We also have the applicant on here that could probably speak a little more eloquently than I just did. But in speaking with the city attorney's office, I think we're sort of limited in what we can do here, and that's related to talking about, you know, the location of the antenna, the aesthetics. What's the structure look like? Is it of similar materials and of the main building? Like, is it... this main building stucco with wood trim, is the building they're proposing as a stealth facility, similar materials, similar colors, those types of things. And there's probably some ability related to aesthetics to move it around a little bit on the site, probably not the ability really to move it anywhere beyond that, meaning off-site someplace else, because the applicant does have access through lease agreements to this property, and that's where they're proposing the antenna. So.
Thank you. So, commissioners, if you could focus your questions with that legal advice in mind. Any questions for staff? Eric.
I'm going to hold actually and wait for comments.
Mike?
None.
Asia? Joe? Thank you very much. Could we have the applicant? Is they are online?
They're on Zoom, yeah.
Okay. Anthony, can we...
Yes, absolutely, Chair. I see a raised hand by Rachel Davidson, the applicant representative. I'm going to go ahead and unmute Rachel. Please stand by.
Thank you, Anthony.
Rachel, you are unmuted.
Welcome, Rachel.
This is Rachel Davidson, and I'm with Jacobs, and I'm representing T-Mobile for this project. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Perfect. I thought that was a great presentation. We just want to reiterate that T-Mobile and Sprint merged. This project is specifically to modify the existing Sprint facility to add T-Mobile. Because of the larger antennas that T-Mobile has for this type of facility, it wasn't feasible to put them in the existing cross. We would have had to enlarge the cross to a point where it might have been a little bit unsightly. So the proposal is to put this tower here. We decided to go with the tower because we thought it would go with the church a lot more than a faux tree might look in this area. And because of that, the proposal is for hiding all of the equipment within this tower. I am available for any questions or concerns related to this project, so please just let me know.
Thanks so much, Rachel. Commissioners, question for the applicant? Joe.
Rachel, given the seemingly high concern that the people in the community have for these kinds of installations, I just want to make sure that there's an identifiable individual within your organization that will put his name to a document that says, yes, all the federal regulations have been met, and there is no danger. According to federal regulations, this is safe to build. So who might that individual be, and will he indeed be, you know, certifying to that?
Of course. I totally understand the concern. We do these reports to hopefully alleviate those types of questions that come about. We could have our RF engineer put the name to that document if you need anything as part of maybe a condition to this application. That person's an RF engineer and could specifically answer any questions related to RF.
Oh, that's great. I don't have any questions. I just would like the engineer with his background and expertise to essentially acknowledge
sure.
the document.
Yeah, I could verify who's the RF engineer assigned to the specific site and provide that to Cindy if that would be helpful.
Rachel, thank you so much. If you could stay with us, we're now going to open it for public comment, and there might be additional questions.
I just had one question real quick.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mike, question for Rachel?
Yeah, Rachel. So since Sprint and T-Mobile did merge, how many of these cell towers do you have currently in Morro Bay?
We did provide that information. It was really just a handful that they're looking at. Maybe Cindy has that document that she could share as part of the presentation. I don't know if I'm able to share anything being remote here, but I could certainly provide that to the jurisdiction also via email. Cindy, do you have that handy?
Cindy?
Yes. So there's two T-Mobile facilities within the city, one at 1478 Quintana and the other one at the lattice tower at the top of Radcliffe, 750 Radcliffe. Rachel gave me addresses for two other locations, but they were notably outside city limits within the county area, one of them being out on East Highway 41.
Commissioners, we good? Rachel, thank you, and we will be getting back to you, I think. I'd now like to open public comment on this application and invite the public to come up, and would love to hear from you. Can we start with Terry?
Oh, why not? Terry Simons, Morro Bay. I did send some comments along. Hopefully you got them, but I'll just reiterate a couple things. I did look in a little further into the process into this, and I understand why it's being processed the way it is. My biggest concern, and it's interesting that the alternative was a faux tree, and I think some of us have seen some of the faux trees and have been aghast at how awful they look. Unfortunately, I don't think this tower looks a lot better than some of the faux trees. It's lacking in the three-dimensional aesthetic that one would hope to see in a bell tower. it does try to emulate the idea that there's an opening in the top of it, but I think it needs a little more definition to look more like a tower. The other thing that I'd point out, and it's probably doable, the mansard roof, I think, is very incongruous with both the aesthetic of the church and the aesthetic typically found in a bell tower. I don't know why it couldn't have a steeple tower type roof, even though it would exceed the nominal height limit. I think it's fairly routine to allow roofs, and particularly roofs that conceal equipment, to extend beyond the 25-foot height limit. And I'm sure that the director, Cindy, could speak to that. One of the photos in the packet show a two-story building. Actually, it shows a two-story building in the foreground with the tower shown in the background. And topographically, it looks like the elevation of the RF equipment is basically at about the same elevation of the living space on the second floor of that building. When I reviewed the schematic evaluations of RF frequency broadcast and the fact that they try to keep this in a narrow lens, primarily horizontal towards the horizon rather than going vertical or down towards the ground, it was a little concerning to me because it looked like that lens would go right through the living space of this two-story building. And my only thing was I couldn't figure out what the distance was, but it didn't seem to matter. It's right in the path of the RF frequencies. And I'm sure that the RF engineer that works for T-Mobile will be happy to provide a certification and an indemnification of the city, relieving the property owners of any concerns they might have regarding the potential of getting their brains fried from the microwave things. It seems like a lot of State Department employees have had problems in various places like Cuba over RF broadcasts. Thank you.
So, Terry, before you leave, sure. Your recommendation on the steeple roof, are you thinking like a metal roof, something like that?
I don't know about a metal roof. I just, rather than a mansard roof, I think a regular pointed roof, a pyramid, a fairly steep-pitched roof.
What material would you think?
Oh, shingled would be fine. I think something that matches the shingles on the church. But just the mansard seems incongruous with the roof aesthetics of both of the buildings.
Great. Yeah, thank you.
It doesn't look like a church steeple.
How was yoga today?
Oh, exhausting. I barely made it here. I got home, got in my chair, and fell asleep. So, but I made it.
Thank you, Terry. Others?
Aw.
Winholtz again. I'm waiting for that overhead projector to come back. So sorry. These are just some random comments, random in the sense that they're not in any particular order. I was on City Council in 2007 when this was approved, and it was controversial at the time. It came before the Planning Commission and then went before the City Council. The city attorney got involved because the residents were very upset about it. And then, you know, of course, realized that it was out of their control because, of course, health issues were the primary one. The building that Mr. Simons referred to is a house that initiated an appeal regarding it, and it is directly in their second story, and there's actually a second building just to the west of the building in your pictures that is now also second story that will also be in a horizontal line with this. There's a building to the east, a house that is also in line with it, and to the west, but it's a little bit low because it's slanted down the hill. So know that this is surrounded by second-story buildings, except to the north. What the outcome of was back in 2007 was that the City Council said to staff, we would like these facilities on city property as opposed to private property, particularly not in residential areas. Obviously, that was before our current staff being on board, so obviously that information was not passed along, or the record wasn't gone back and looked at that time. But the city wanted the income from these kinds of facilities, and so I think that needs to be brought to your attention, that this is something that we want on public property for the income, not in residential neighborhoods. But maybe that goal has shifted. What else? There is a tree right next to where this proposed tower is. There's no mention in there of whether the tree is going to be removed or not. It actually presents a visual barrier from Shasta Street, so in that sense it's kind of nice, but I don't know if the people building it think it's more of an impediment to their waves coming out, so I'd like to know about that tree. I think it's real important that you're adding the comment that it has to be posted because of these people who are, they talk about people occupationally and then people who incidentally don't know that they're being EMF'd, to use that language. And so they're posting that, but know that the people around, biking, walking by, aren't going to have any idea that those waves are coming out, because I don't know how large the sign will be that's posted on the tower, so they won't know about that, and I'd like to know about the size of that sign. And I think it's interesting, I don't know if there are 6 antennas in the current church steeple. I think that there are not, but you're going in from 1 antenna to 6. I think that's quite an increase, and how does that increase the EMFs? And then there's also a tower down on what used to be called the Twin Dolphins Hotel, which is on Morrow, and I think it's Pacific Street. And so how does that cumulative effect result from city law, or not city, federal law, about the cumulative effect of all these radio waves? And then just finally, if you'll let me finish, the guarantee of the quality of the equipment, the inspections, how frequent, and it does talk about this in your staff report, and maybe you could make a condition how frequently and how often this needs to be evaluated, so we are getting quality protection as best we can in terms of the kind of idea that this is.
Betty, when you say evaluated, what are we evaluating?
Well, it says that the equipment that's being used for the antennas and stuff, and the materials that are in the shed, it mentions that there's an inspection in the staff report. It doesn't say how frequent these things are inspected.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to. I don't know if the shed's going to be enlarged or if it's maintaining the same size. And even though there are 3 or 2 other T-Mobile units in the city, we do have other providers, and I'm wondering how many other providers there are, because I think there are, and that's a lot on the population. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Scott, can you respond to any of that? Any response to the city previous
I have no response to what took place in 2007. I wasn't here. We can't dictate where these are located. So, if the city was interested in it, we could let it be known that we are, and that could maybe help it be located in areas where there's public property. The issue, right, is what they do when they identify locations for these is they kind of do these bubble diagram things and to show where there's coverage and lack of coverage, right, and they try to get them so they provide the most coverage is why they choose those locations. And while they have a little bit of flexibility to move it around inside of there, there's not a lot, I don't think. So.
Got it. Cindy, will the tree be removed and frequency of inspection? Any response?
The tree will not be removed. I confirmed that with the applicant. And I gave away my last packet to the commission, so I don't have one to look at my staff report. But I don't recall writing in the staff report that there would be inspections, so I'd have to look and see what that's referring to.
Okay, if you could just check that for us. Others who would like to comment during public comment? Anthony, anybody in the queue who has a hand raised?
Thank you, Chair Roshan. Currently, I do not see any raised hands in the queue.
With that, I will close public comment. Commissioners, your chance to discuss. Eric.
I am right there with Terry on this one. the issues that I saw with it was that the architecture of the tower actually has nothing to do with the church. It looks like generic church to me. It has an arched window. There's no arched windows in the church. It has a mansard roof. The roof on the church is different. So my suggestion off the top would be to redesign the tower such that it looks somewhat like the architecture of the building that it's supporting in some way, shape, I won't deem the shape that it should be in. But I do think it should match the architecture of the building that's there. I don't think we're allowed to throw comments about the RF frequencies and the distances in the second story versus I think that's controlled by higher powers, as it were, this being a church. I'm not certain that's the appropriate comment, but I'm spreading the word one way or the other here. Those are my comments. I'm not prepared to approve the project with the current architecture.
Eric, thank you. Joe.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement. You know, it's one thing to have this kind of a facility in some ranch land, or it's even in a second story of a fairly anonymous hotel. But at a functioning religious building in the middle of town, and then to say that somehow the bell tower is appropriate camouflage, I emphasize that word. While that word might be appropriate in other environments, it's not really appropriate in its traditional meaning. It has to blend in with the environment where it is, and clearly what I saw in the rendering, it was hard to make out from the rendering, but it's just a pale version of a bell tower and inappropriate and improbable. We have to see a design that makes sense in the environment.
So, commissioners, let's be a little more specific if we can to help Rachel.
I think it shouldn't. This is a generic bell tower, and many of the cell companies have generic water towers or generic windmill, generic tree, et cetera, and those things are not necessarily site-specific, and I think in this instance, in the middle of town, it should be site-specific.
So Terry made the case that the mansard looks artificial and incongruous there. I think the window itself has no detail, and I'm not sure what it is.
Well, from previous experience, that's just essentially graphic design on a surface that allows transmission of. So there is no actual window. It's just printed to some degree, or I'm not certain exactly how they do it, but it's not.
Yeah, and
it can be almost anything.
Yeah, I would agree. It will probably turn out that a window isn't suitable, but we could, in fact, do something that much more closely resembles a functional window with opaque glass and then whatever barrier they have to put on the interior side of the glass.
So, Cindy, at what point do they present drawings, the applicant, that actually show details around the window, like a final design, submittal, construction drawings? Would that go to you guys, or would that go directly to Building and Safety?
So would they submit for the building permit? It's also routed to planning to confirm consistency with the Planning Commission approval.
If we were to condition this and ask that there be an administrative review, that the architecture improves along certain specific needs, that is something that staff could do?
Absolutely. We could do that. And a couple of things. I do like the idea that Terry raised and that you did as well about having it more of a steeple type thing as opposed to the mansard roof. That would make it look a lot nicer. Issue then becomes it's probably not going to necessarily be compliant because the antennas are at the top. They probably need the full width, and maybe Rachel can speak to this, but if we do the steeple, it might exceed the height by a couple of feet to get that architectural element. Our code allows for that, but I just wanted to point that out.
I mean, it's a funny thing to say, but architects are good at architecture. Could we condition this to have an architect? Should I ask Rachel?
have an architect complete the design on it.
Complete the design. It's a modest project, but it seems reasonable.
If you just look at the fenestration on the church, the stained glass windows on the church and the pebble dash sort of concrete on the church, there's a lot of architecture in the church if you look at it.
So we could ask an architect to actually provide, one or two details, something that shows a parapet cap, something that shows the moldings around the window with depth. I mean, that's the thing that makes this thing look kind of fake.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Chair Roshan, this is Anthony from AGP Video. Rachel, the applicant representative, has raised her hand.
Great.
Just wanted to give you a heads up.
Thank you, Anthony. Rachel, can we hear from you again, please?
Rachel, you are unmuted.
Hi, thank you. Yes, we do have architects in our firm for Jacobs, and we can certainly provide more details for any design that Planning Commission would like to see. If we want to raise the height and make it more pointed, as discussed, we can have those architectural details added to our construction drawings that would ultimately be reviewed by planning.
Joe, would you be willing to volunteer to look over the shoulder of staff to make sure that the commission's intents are followed through on so we could make this administrative? Is that reasonable?
Normally, I would think that the community would expect that the plan would come back to the Planning Commission. However, I realize that in the interest of keeping things simple, but I don't have any background in architecture. I would like the chairman to be the one who actually takes a look at it, if that's agreeable to everybody.
Do you guys want to make a motion? Oh, other questions, Asia?
Yeah. So I can't imagine that surrounding residents are going to want this to be taller than it already is. So I don't. Are those two irreconcilable?
No. I'm not sure it needs a steeple. I think it could just be improved. I mean, it could even just be a simple square with the right window. And that looks like a bell tower as well. But there's ways to do it, I think, without making it taller.
And may I say, I would agree with Asia, given the lack of sentiment for these kinds of installations. I don't think anyone's going to be disposed to say, yes, make it taller for purely the sentiment.
Okay. Yeah. Mike, did you have anything to add?
Yeah, can I just clarify with Scott? And Rachel still has her ear on to could, because so many elements have already come up for me, so could this come back to the Planning Commission for final review versus administrative? Because that way one person doesn't have to make the call for what we're trying to do here.
The right? Planning Commission could always request that it come back, but I mean the Planning Commission has given pretty specific direction, and if you have one of you that wants to take a look at it, I think we can be assured that it's not just staff but one of the Planning Commissioners that voiced those concerns could be part of it.
And the reason I ask that, and Rachel, you're still there, is because I don't think there's a time element involved here. Rachel, would you be willing to come back to the Planning Commission for more detail as part of the architect?
Yes, I can come back.
I also have another question just about
Asia.
So the existing antennas are going to be removed from the cross, and the cross currently is going to remain. So that was that.
Is that a question?
Conditionally, you set it. Is it going to remain? And also, like,
Cindy, do we know that?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Where the existing antennas are?
Yes.
In the cross? Yes. That whole structure will remain?
That will remain, yes. Okay. So it's at 30 feet and a half, 30 and a half inches, 30 feet and 0.5. 30. You get it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I just didn't know if that was going to be part of the consideration of recommendations, whether...
And structures such as that, they're allowed by the code to, they're basically considered architectural projections. So there's no height variance or anything involved with that. It's allowed.
Just to wrap up, it sounds like, or just to tie it together, it sounds like we're not looking for any additional height. I don't think we want to burden the neighborhood with additional height. I do think we want to see the project as a committee again, as a full commission. Again, the applicants agreed.
I'll make the other option to be considered. This is a very modest project. I think it's very close to being successful. I think the tower is a lot nicer than a tree, okay. Faux tree. So I'm, rather than burden us with another project, the applicant with another visit, I think staff is more than capable. I'm willing to look over the shoulder. So if the commissioners agree, I would say I would like us to consider that. If the commission feels otherwise, then I'm open to that motion as well.
And that you're, but just for the sake of the public and the applicant, you are a licensed architect in California, so I don't have a problem with that myself, per se.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would just add that, again, because of the location of this, you know, it's sensitive, so I'm sure you would consider that as part of your review as well.
I think
part
so.
Of our concern. So good.
I just like making it a little more, let's call it, less complicated if we can.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
And I also have great confidence in staff. Do I have a motion?
Oh, I think we should tie in a few other things that the public brought up to the motion.
Please.
If there aren't, and those would be the tree is to remain. I think that should be, you know, an added condition just to make sure that it actually does remain. And then some frequency of inspection, whatever type of inspection these facilities are accorded, we should look into the frequency of what those inspections are classically and just condition this one with that same. Does that sound appropriate, staff?
So we can do that. I'd be interested. Is Rachel still available?
Rachel, you're still there?
She is still on Zoom. I am going to unmute her right now. You are unmuted, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. I have a question for you as it relates to Commissioner Meyer's question. I know that these facilities regularly do reporting on the emissions from them. How often does that take place?
Generally, we can do some sort of, like, when the antennas are placed, there can be a condition where we do a cumulative report once the antennas are in place to confirm the compliance with the FCC. Other than that, generally, until the antennas change, the reports remain effective for that time period.
Okay.
Is there a maintenance agreement as to, like, painting and so forth? I know that when I look at the trees after a few years, the trees are, instead of being green, they're typically blue, and they stay blue a lot longer than they stay green. So just with respect to paint and upkeeping, is that the responsibility of the applicant or of the church?
I think anything – we have the ability to enforce conditions and project approvals by the commission. So if something wasn't being maintained and wasn't looking good, one, I think the church would have a problem with that. But aside, then it would be us looking at it saying this needs to be maintained, needs to be painted, repaired, whatever it is.
We could just add a condition then.
You can add a condition, but we would do it anyway. You're required to, like, keep
just
things in,
make it
good,
clear.
In good order. Yeah. So, yeah, you can certainly add that, though.
Let's just add a condition that requires some frequency of maintenance.
And there's a phone number usually placed onto the site that anyone can contact, anyone from the public, anyone from the city, if there was any concerns.
Great. Thank you, Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
And could we add the condition that the relevant professional would lend his...
A licensed architect?
Would lend his...
No,
his
the
name.
RF, the RF compliance is what
talking about. Oh, you're talking about that?
Okay. Yes.
So that would be an additional, the RF engineer sign the document stating that it's in compliance. Something, is that what you're asking for, Joe? And then it sounds like we're saying that it's okay if the chair look over staff's shoulder as the left arm of the Planning Commission. I think that's, is that everything?
I guess just to make it clear, I would, a friendly amendment, I would offer that if the window is there, it has to be done in real glass mullions.
Mr. Chair, sorry.
In detail.
You should ask the applicant this question because these things are, it's not actually a window. It's like a wrap that goes around the top. Like, even when they're a water tank, it's just sort of a fabric wrap.
Oh, yeah.
It's not actually a physical barrier because the signal needs to, I believe. But let's ask the applicant.
Well, I guess, Rachel, how do we not have a faux window?
A
Anthony?
Can you still hear me? I don't know if I was muted.
Rachel is already unmuted. Sorry to interrupt. I left Rachel unmuted, so she is. Go ahead.
Perfect. Yes, so the material does need to be FRP, so the signal can penetrate the building, but they can make that look like faux glass.
Okay, and we can provide I guess, Rachel, in an effort to be as clear for you as we can, let's just make sure that there's a detail of, like, the, you know, the head, the sides, and the sill, so that we have depth and not just like a paste on. It could be wood moldings, whatever you want, but something that's an actual architectural detail around the opening. Sure. Yeah?
Okay.
It should tie back into the architecture of the original building. There's no arches on the original windows around the building. The details of this.
So Eric is just saying if we could look to those for those details to come from the original building.
Absolutely.
You're great. Thank you. Do we need to repeat this complicated motion?
I was going to make a motion that we approve through administrative approval for staff with the chair being part of the process on the architectural review. So that's my motion. So go ahead and, you know, delegate to staff for administrative approval with all of our comments and our input. And Bill, our chair, will be part of that process of approval, administrative approval.
All right. So Mike made the motion. Were you in the process of making the motion, Eric?
I'm
all right. So Mike made the motion. Any way you could read that back to us, Scott?
So I'm Cindy, please help me. These are the things that I understand sort of in a bullet point format that are going to be included with this. The trees to remain. Yeah. That will add a condition that requires the structure of the facility to be maintained. That will have a licensed architect provide revised drawings to us using design and materials consistent with the main building.
Including details.
Including details. Mm-hmm. The chair will also review the revised submittal, and that will be a third or second point of contact and approval for that. Mm-hmm. Was there something else?
RF engineer.
Oh, the RF engineer will have that plan, RF report stamped.
Commissioners, we good?
Yep.
We have a second.
I'll second.
Excuse me, Cindy? Can we have the motion state that you're adopting Planning Commission Resolution 0623. We can't say administrative.
Did you say that?
Yes.
We want you to adopt the resolution with the conditions.
With conditions. Yeah. It'll adopt the resolution. So the motion is to adopt the resolution as staff stated with our comments.
Yes.
Conditions.
Yes.
Mike is the motion. The second is Eric. Any comments or discussion before we vote? Would you poll the commission, please?
Okay. Commissioner Rodriguez.
Yes.
Commissioner Meyer.
Yes.
Commissioner King.
Yes.
Commissioner Ingrafia.
Yes.
Chair Roshan.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Thank you.
Rachel, thank you very much.
Chair Roshan, I message.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
What comes to mind was the situation that came up a few years ago when a similar situation with the enlargement of some telecommunications technology. And it's what I'm about to say isn't particularly relevant for this because this is the expansion of an existing site. But I want to sort of throw this out to the commission when perhaps we're presented with a new site. What typically happens is the telecommunication company in their private discussions selects one or two or three alternate places, and then the Planning Commission has to decide which, in their judgment, which is the best. Okay. I had suggested at the time that it struck me as a better.
We've already voted on this. Is that a concern?
I think Joe's Commissioner Ingrafia, sorry, is sort of opining on what it might look like in the future. Mm-hmm. This is not an agendized item, but I think I know where he's going, and I might be able to provide something along those lines to answer your question.
Okay.
So the new zoning code has a wireless facility chapter in it, and that requires co-location. So I think you were getting along the lines about like, hey, let's not have them disparate, and our actually code requires them to co-locate. So.
Again, that wasn't exactly what I was going to say, but if it's inappropriate for you to make comments now, I won't make them.
Well, it's not agendized, so maybe at the end, if you want to do future agenda items, we could actually talk about this a little bit. We could put that on an next agenda. I'm happy to do that.
I think that's worthwhile.
That's good.
With that, commissioners, new business. Hearing none, unfinished business. I'm very excited to say that our city council has moved forward our downtown design district, which is a proposal that came from this commission over a year ago relative to a height up zone in the downtown. And we've suggested that there would be a subcommittee from the commission to work on that. Early on, Joe and I had volunteered to be part of that downtown design district. Commissioners, any discussion on that?
I have some questions.
Asia.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what will that entail? What can we kind of set our intent for what that district is going to, or that subcommittee is going to look at? Can we discuss priorities as a commission to direct that subcommittee, or how does that work?
So that subcommittee includes planning commissioners, but it also includes city council members, specifically the mayor, Mayor Wixom, and council member Cindy Edwards. So the planning commission is not going to be probably dictating the nature of what happens there based on that, just being delicate in how that goes. What will happen, I think, and Chair Roshan and I have spoken about this some, is we'll get together with the city council subcommittee members and sort of form up what that might look like. The original intent, you'll all recall, right, was to address height. It's for a downtown design district to address increased height in the downtown potentially. And then I think sort of secondarily in the conversation we had with the council on it was looking at maybe things to incentivize housing and things like that. So that's broadly what we're going to be looking at. There's probably going to be a lot of detail inside of it, though. And certainly as we go down the road, the subcommittee can report back to the full commission.
Well, and I think maybe to take that one step further, I think our subcommittee would encourage the ad hoc committee to hold two public forums. And I don't know if that'll happen, but I would volunteer that those public forums would happen here with the Planning Commission. So not only would we be able to hear from the public and inform the public about the intent once it's been shaped, but you guys would get to participate in that direction.
Yeah. I would actually suggest that those be held as soon as, at the outset, as soon as you can, those kinds of, so the public impression can come early.
We were going to suggest two, one at the beginning, one at the end.
Yeah. And one, can I make a comment?
Sure.
Chair Roshan?
Yeah.
One of the things I liked when I just saw this item and the fact that the council now is looking at this in a way that they can see how this will help us as we're trying to plan and develop our city in the future. But I like the fact that as part of their goal-setting process, they've made public infrastructure, economic vitality, housing, homelessness, and community engagement as part of their major goals. Well, if we do this right, if we do this design district right, it's going to deal with all of those elements of their goals. So we're actually producing something. So that's going to be, I think, a long term. I think it's going to take a while to get there, but I just feel that this will develop into something more than just height, as Scott said. I think we were initially dealing with height, but I think the council has made comments at their goal setting about how this district could be used for other things. We'll just leave it at that.
That's correct.
Yeah, how's that?
Good. We didn't really agendize this for discussion. Is that a problem, Scott, with what we're doing?
No, I put it. Well, downtown design district is on the agenda. So,
okay, so we can continue. Other comments?
Am I correct in believing that currently in the downtown area, the height maximum is 37 feet?
That hasn't been approved yet. It is still pending Coastal Commission certification of our local coastal implementation plan.
But the city's contribution to it, the city has approved it. Is that correct?
Yes. The Planning Commission recommended that it be pulled out. It was pulled out and brought forward to the City Council without that policy in there, and the City Council, previous City Council, put it back in and then suggested the formation of a Downtown Design District Ad Hoc Committee to look at, how to address height in the downtown. So it was that's what happened.
So that's still my concern, that there might be accelerated applications or ultimately grandfathering because that might be approved by the City Council before.
I would say this, based on current conversations with the Coastal Commission and the status of our IP, we're going to be getting hopefully a letter at the end of this month that outlines some additional changes they want us to make to it. We'll be running it back through Planning Commission for recommendation to City Council, at least two meetings before City Council, and then sending it back to the Coastal Commission. There is almost no chance that this is going to be done before the end of the year. So I think there's plenty of time for the ad hoc committee to do its work and for for us to figure out where we're going with it, whether we increase the height or we don't.
Okay, fair enough.
And all of this is subject to the mayor and Cindy Edwards weighing in. The suggestion that we might make is that this would take place over roughly 6 months, roughly a meeting a month, with two public forums involved in that same time period. At that point, if we can make a recommendation, the ad hoc group being the we, it would come back to City Planning Commission, and then it would have to be approved by City Council. That could be done within a 9 to 10 month period. So that is a rough time schedule for what this might be. And this group will get to weigh in on it multiple times and to allow for public comment, which there's no reason we can't have public comment here tonight, right?
Oh, I was going to recommend that you do that.
Yeah.
And Chair Roshan, just one more, just to kind of close the loop. I've listened to about 6 hours of the council talk about, their goals as well as this design district, downtown design. And it's my impression that they would like to use it for more than just height. I'll just say it. Scott kind of agreed that they may develop something else out of this. So, and that's going to be part of our work. So whoever does this I just see this being more than what's in front of us now. It is on our agenda, so we can talk about it. I'm just giving you more information than you have that's in your packet. This will require more work, I see happening, because that's the desire of council. That may be the desire of council. But it's sounding like that's what it is. It's sounding based upon the meetings I've gone to and what they've said that they want something more than what's on our agenda.
I think Commissioner Rodriguez, I think you're correct. They thought that it could touch on several different aspects of the goals that the council has under consideration currently.
That's right.
And if I could add on to that, I think one of those conversations will be housing types.
Yeah.
There's not one type of affordable housing. There's actually 13 different types.
Yeah.
So we'll be discussing that, and that'll be raised, at least part of it. I think the community benefits, in other words, what do we get for the height that's fair and works with the incentive but also becomes a benefit for the downtown neighborhood. With the hope that we're going to have an ad hoc group that's made up of a broad group of stakeholders, including the chamber, but also downtown business members other than the chamber, and community members as well as commission council.
And I believe, and then I'll let Scott confirm this, that council member Edwards also dropped the idea of the historical element of downtown. history being part of this process, right, Scott? I believe it was Cindy Edwards that brought that up.
Cindy raised the issue into the last goals discussion about including the historic ordinance in there,
yeah,
into the goal-setting process.
Mm-hmm.
But it would not necessarily be part of the downtown design district, even though it can be referenced.
Yes.
I don't know if it's on the critical path.
I mean, I think it's – I mean, I'm sure we'll have that – we'll have discussions about what –
yeah,
but historical it fits, impacts are on it. Yeah,
I don't.
I think the historical ordinance is a separate thing, but I think there's some historical components to maybe what the ad hoc committee looks at.
Other questions or comments, Asia?
I think I'm just feeling like I would like some reassurance or advocacy on the two views part for the role that you see yourself playing in the subcommittee. And I guess I just am wondering, I don't know how to verbalize this exactly, but just wondering your take specifically on your role in the subcommittee. Does that make sense?
I think this idea originated here, mm-hmm, in Planning Commission.
Mm-hmm.
I think the subcommittee, our role would be to help organize the agendas. We will offer that because this is a kind of a crafted approach to a downtown design district. This is not a formula. This is going to have to be customized to Morro Bay and to a unique kind of overlay district. I think that's where we begin, and we'll be happy to report back once we hear how many of our ideas are welcome. And
I guess I just want to be able to, like, feed input into the process, and mm-hmm, I don't have the time to be on two subcommittees, and so I'm hoping having an extra planning commissioner input. I know we'll have meetings and stuff, but I don't know where the lines are for the Brown Act of, mm-hmm, being able to.
We can only have two commissioners.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, like, outside of those two commissioners providing thoughts or comments or information.
Well, that would have to happen right now. If we propose it to the two public forums, and then when it comes back to commission, we get to look at it, mm-hmm, as any application or case.
The good thing that you can also do is we could have a standing item on the agenda, or we could put it on there once a month, whatever it is, where the subcommittee reports back to the Planning Commission, right? So at that point, that would provide the whole group the opportunity to discuss what's happening, and for you to provide input along those lines, and then the subcommittee could bring it back to the ad hoc committee. I mean, there's opportunities there. So I wouldn't say that there's necessarily, like, it's a one and done thing. I think this whole process is going to be quite iterative. So
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
and the other thing is the fact that I truly believe that the council is looking for support from their boards and commissions, especially the Planning Commission and others and the community, to get through this process and do it right, with community engagement being one of their major goals, right? So let's engage everybody. Let's do this that way. So I just believe that at the end of this process, this will come back to the Planning Commission as a whole. But it's nice what you brought up, Scott, about reporting out, though, that we can kind of, you know, make some adjustments if needed, or make some suggestions as a body if needed, if we see it drifting off away from where we see us supporting something.
Joe.
And I would hope that ultimately it would produce a very comprehensive document.
Oh, you better believe it. Yeah.
That all members of the commission could read, and the public
support.
As well.
I think it's likely, Scott, that this would result in an overlay district.
I'm assuming that in the beginning, that's what this is. If it ends up being something else, so be it. But that's my thought process right now.
Well, when I meant it, I mean a memorandum of the process of the meetings, not the ultimate product.
Ah.
Mm. Yeah.
Eric,
I would encourage you to look at our surrounding cities. Look at Atascadero, for instance. Drive over to Atascadero and wander around the downtown. And the same with AG, and the same with Cambria, Templeton. Just because there's a certain nuance that comes to the scale and character and fineness of detail in some of these downtowns that these overarching documents sometimes lose. And when you look at the 300 square foot little tiny Spanish colonial building with a tea room in Atascadero with their handmade tiles and they're stacked with extra concrete and it's only 12 feet tall, and then next a few doors down is the Carlton, which is a monstrous big hotel, and these ins and outs and up and downs, you got to be really careful because then you look right across the street in Atascadero and there's the new development. And the new development is so different and so excruciatingly painful for me to see next to the old historic downtown. It's a sensitive subject that really needs to be handled with kid gloves. And so just wander around all of our surrounding cities and look to see the nuance.
And I don't think they have a design district down there, so this would be the benefit of.
Well, and to revisit the original intent of this, that there was the concern that a simple height raise might begin to change the character of downtown. So focusing through a design district to focus on how that character could be maintained, what is that character, I think is a big part of the charge. And I think that the community is going to carefully police that.
And Eric's thought is well taken, because I'm sure that that large building in Atascadero was designed with the intent of mimicking or fitting in well with the existing historical buildings, and it's up to discussion as to whether they succeeded very well.
We will do better.
I was just going to say that, I think the benefit of our current historic discussion coming at around the same time as this
is good,
that. A lot of historic districts, if you look around the country or just on the West Coast, thinking of places like Nevada City, places that have historic districts as a region or as a part of town, I think really has huge implications on the design of the area and the holding on to the character. So.
Commissioners, would it be okay to open it to the public at this point? You've, Terry, Richard, Betty, you've heard us talk. Any comments from any of you? Terry, I knew you wouldn't disappoint.
Well, I may disappoint Terry Simons, Morro Bay. I did send some thoughts in. One concern, and it's an overriding concern on just generally the way these discussion items are handled at the staff level, and I think I noted that when I see an agenda item that no staff report is provided, I'm always concerned because I don't know where we're going until I get here. In this particular case, I think it would have been nice to have a little bit of the background included in a staff report, indicating that it wasn't the current city council, but it was the prior city council that created the situation that we now find ourselves in, with the current city council trying to redirect the energy of the prior council and put this back into some sort of review program, seemingly focused on a height limit. But I think the overall downtown area, the downtown district, when I see this and I hear you talking about it, I see more than just a one-shot thing. I think there's going to be a need for a continuing downtown district guideline. If not, my favorite thing is a design review committee, and I think that the groundwork that's going to have to be done to create everything needed for the downtown district guideline, you might as well do the work and let it become a design review committee that's an ongoing event. I'm particularly frustrated with one of the biggest buildings, one of the most impressive potential buildings in the downtown that's currently being remodeled, which is the most recent Bank of America building, which is now headed towards being a big coffee production, whatever it's going to be. I never heard about it until they started construction on it, and I don't know what review was done by the Planning Commission or anybody else as far as the aesthetics, the architecture, whether it blends in with the historic nature of the building across the town. How did that happen? How did that happen? How can we pay lip service to being so concerned about the aesthetics of our downtown and yet not make an attempt to regulate these major projects? And there's two other ones going on in the downtown also right now. There's the bank down on the corner of Main and Morro Bay Boulevard. How is that one managing to slide under the radar? If we're seriously concerned about maintaining or creating or projecting a future aesthetic in this downtown area, the sooner we get to work on it and the more, the wider the scope that those downtown guidelines have. It's more than just height. Mm-hmm. It's all kinds of issues, fenestrations of the buildings. First of all, I would be very hard-pressed to identify what the downtown aesthetic is right now. It's a bunch of old buildings, basically, with a few, some of them rather crude, renovations and remodels and upgrades. I don't see a strong downtown aesthetic. I was raised in the Sacramento area, and one of the most amazing redevelopment areas in the Sacramento area is the old Rivertown, the downtown Sacramento. And there they went to unbelievable lengths to preserve original masonry structures by tearing everything down.
So let me offer, and I'll ask Scott. With the B of A building, we don't have a downtown design district currently. With an overlay, will come design guidelines, will come architectural review of some sort.
One would hope.
But right now for the B of A building, it did not come in front of us.
It didn't come to the Planning Commission, no, and neither did the other bank that's, that Terry referred to.
But with a downtown design district, that, you know, I mean, we can set those standards. And it can be clear what comes and what doesn't. I think that's the intent here. It is about height. That was the motivator, mm-hmm. but it's not only height. Mm-hmm. It's about protecting the character of downtown.
Lastly, I do have one other point, and that's the integration of all the new state laws that imply developers' opportunities when they're providing housing to exceed current regulatory aspects that the city has in terms of height.
You're talking like density bonus.
Density bonuses, mm-hmm. but it's actually much more than density bonuses. And then the last point, of course, is parking. When you increase these buildings' height, volumes, and uses, you're going to create an incredible amount of potential new parking needs. So where in the downtown design review is anybody going to look at a comprehensive parking program in the downtown area? Seems like that's lacking, and it should be a part of the hotel complex that's being surreptitiously reviewed in closed sessions of all places. No public input, no public discussion.
So a response to that, Eric did have us include that the down to the stair would be part of the consideration for the downtown design district. So that will be discussed, that whole new development up there as it relates to the downtown.
I take you at your representation, but right now I don't see anybody but the members of the developer and the city council and the city attorney discussing this. I am very concerned that we're going to be handed a fait accompli, and that's what we've agreed to with the developer, and this is what we're going to build, and the Planning Commission is never going to look at it. No Downtown Design Review Commission is going to look at it. No standards are going to be applied to it. That's just my concern.
Thanks, Terry. Richard, welcome.
I
understand you were a member of the Planning Commission.
Yes, I was. I was a member of the Planning Commission for about almost 4 years. And
thank you.
One of the things that I would like to mention too is some of this kind of came up before regarding the downtown, and I think it's really good that you guys are trying to get that. A little more transparency, let's just say that. And then also the historical buildings. We have, you know, there's, like, I was one of the ones that was against taking down that one building that we had on the Embarcadero that they took down. And there's these iconic buildings that we have in the city that we are part of our character. And the other thing that I would like to mention when looking at the downtown, one of the things that we did also look at is not only traffic and parking, but also with the advent of a lot more people riding bicycles and electric bicycles, having a means to keep in that in mind as well, you know, how that traffic will flow with people that are using electric vehicles. Thank you.
Thanks. Anthony, anybody, any hands raised?
Thank you, Chair Roshan. Currently, I do not see any raised hands in the queue.
Thank you so much. Betty, last chance. Mm-hmm. Commissioners, final comments?
I saw recently that that Nancy Kovac, development consultant, is retiring after 24 years, and she's appeared so many times before the Planning Commission as well as other boards, and I've always found her opinions considered and balanced, and I just wanted to say thank you to Nancy, and you will be missed.
I second that. Asia, final comments?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, Scott, if you could tell me about parking requirements. Sorry, this was I should have asked this before.
Jim. Oh, it's okay.
In the downtown area, is there a new state law that where there's public transit, it's kind of altered parking requirements, and how does that relate to downtown?
So there are yes and no. So the reference to in most pieces of legislation, when it refers to public transit, it's referring to another portion of the California government code that talks about what that looks like. And usually that is transit stops that have during peak hours, like AM and PM peak hours, will run at a minimum buses every 15 minutes. We're never going to have that. There are other pieces of legislation that carve that out and call it something else. There's like ADUs and the parking requirement just requires it to just be any kind of bus stop. So there's a mix and match there, and so it depends on the piece of legislation and what it refers to as far as that goes. But that is a thing that's confusing for a lot of people because that kind of just blows out a lot of the legislation they've been kind of putting forth. Is it requires that sort of mass transit stop, and it's really to get it right housing in metropolitan areas, not so much here. And maybe you know as they get by that, they start looking at you know what it looks like for us, but. But that's largely where it is. We will have some issues if the updated Wiener bill gets passed with SB 35 applying in the coastal zone. That is going to be a little more problematic for us, and I've been kind of doing a little bit of analysis on that lately, trying to get my head around what it might mean.
And maybe I could tag on here, Asia. That's something that after our – remember we had the expert from state housing – who talked to us at that training session. I think it would be worthwhile to invite that kind of information session here around, you know, the new state housing law. They're substantial. They're going to have impacts. I think for us to understand it relative to the downtown design district is probably key. Mike.
Yeah, my turn. Okay, good. I just want to read this for the record only because I've been – dreaming about this and thinking about it so much, but I thought this. A city's downtown is critical to the overall health of any city. Morro Bay is no different. Okay? I often compare a city's downtown to a heart and a body. And Morro Bay's downtown definitely suffers from clogged arteries. In other words, there's no in and out. The lights go out when it's dark, and that's part of what we heard during the goal setting. We want to invigorate our downtown. And by the way, housing will not hurt that in that process. So this is what I've been thinking about. We did this in my old city. By fixing downtown, everything else came back. But it was definitely broken. Downtown was suffering. So I just want to throw that in there because whoever does this, should think about all of the, you know, that's why when Cindy said, hey, let's do this and this and this as part of this, it wasn't just about hype because we've got a lot to deal with downtown. So I just wanted to throw that on the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Eric, last word.
Morro Bay is halfway. We're halfway between SF, we're halfway between Los Angeles, and I always thought And I think the city actually many years ago, I forget exactly how long ago, there was this discussion about it being the point between Southern and Northern California, and to actually design that into our design guidelines for the downtown such that there's some line that runs through the middle of town, and the Instagram moment is your left foot is in Southern California and your right foot is in Northern California. And we claim it because nobody else in the state has claimed it. And if we claim it, they can't. So some, whoever's first gets the moment. And I think it's just a fun idea that, you know, the sidewalk changes, the bench is redwood on the north side and oak on the south side, you know, because that's the middle. And that is just a moment for Morro Bay and a way to promote the city, et cetera, et cetera. And that's my last word.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'll just say real quickly, I'm excited that the city council is moving forward with the downtown design district. I think a lot of what we're hearing is possible. I think we can find a center solution to all of this that gives us housing but also doesn't lose the character of Morro Bay. I'm not so sure that I think we're like a – I don't know if we have artery problems. I kind of like our downtown. Yeah.
I actually think it's beginning to thrive.
What I meant by that, it's the connections, you know, where it feeds the Embarcadero, where it feeds down to Main Street, down all the way down Main Street, where it feeds north, south, east, and west. And that's all I'm trying to say.
I'm with you. I'm not sure it's broken, okay. Is all I'm saying.
Wow. Don't tell the people there that.
Well, okay. I mean,
that's
I think...
That's where this is nice that you have your opinion, I have mine.
Of course.
I heard a lot at those meetings about bring us to life.
And, well, I think bringing it to life is great. I just think that we've got a lot that's really good there.
I agree.
So maybe that's the balance I'm trying to find.
Agree.
And this will be a group that's going to bring some craft to the effort. This is not going to be just a blunt tool.
That's right.
It has to be a very, I think, thoughtful investigation. And Scott's ready for it. So.
Yeah. And just before Scott, who else? I know there's two council members, two planning commissioners. Who else? Is there a feel for the numbers yet and who else is going to be involved? That's all I want to know.
You heard Chair Roshan speak to the things we're considering. We won't know until the group meets.
Okay.
We're hoping to meet within the next week or two. Right now, I'm sort of working on that right now.
Okay.
And so it'll who's on it will come out of the meeting between the ad hoc committee meeting up from the planning commission and this and the council planning commission subcommittee, city council subcommittee, and then that'll kind of frame what it looks like. We're thinking that there's going to be members from the chamber on there, that we're going to have some business owners in the downtown on there, that we're going to have some citizens on there, and I think, you know, in general, at least the initial conversations that we had, we were trying to keep it to like 10 or under, maybe 8's the sweet spot, I don't know, but that's the conversation we need to have with the council.
Okay, thank you.
And it's all subject to them, of course.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think residents of the downtown would be someone that should be involved, not just people in the city in general, but specific to the downtown.
Yeah. Okay, commissioners, I'd like to close this item and close public comment.
Can we do one thing before we
sure.
do this? Well,
yeah.
I put it on here. When we initially talked about this, it sort of organically came up that it was going to be Chair Roshan and Commissioner Angraffia as the two. I'd like an affirmative action by the Planning Commission to form this committee because things that are coming out of this, people are going to go back to the formation of this.
Do we need a motion?
So that's what I'm asking for you.
All right.
Yeah. I'll make the motion. You guys actually already volunteered prior to my tenancy.
And I'd just like to comment, I did express a desire to serve, but I always feel that it's ultimately the chair's, you know, responsibility to take care of these things, so I trust the chair will do what he's going to do. I have not lobbied for this, but I want to help.
So we'll need a second.
And thank you for that, Mike.
So I'll move that Commissioner Angraffia and Commissioner Roshan be part of the committee.
Appreciate that. Can I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mike.
I was hoping, I mean, I think some of my comments earlier was hoping to, like, get you guys to lobby for yourselves. Like, why you two?
Do you have your mic on, Asia?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. I
mean, not that you aren't great input, but I remember our conversation about why the design district came up, why height, what it came up, and so I was just, because it's such a hot button issue, just wanting to, I don't know, get you guys to convince me that you are the right people.
Well, we can revisit it if you'd like.
I mean, the...
No, because, I mean, I'm like I said, I can't be on it right now, and I don't know if...
Well, Mike would like to be on it. Yeah. Mike well, was and, willing to, yeah. to serve.
And I just want to kind of respond to that. I'm going to continue to be a planning commissioner, and I look forward to getting whatever you guys do, whatever product. And I like Scott's idea about reporting in, because I'm going to be watching these, you know, attending these like Terry does, listening, though, not as a, you know, an active member, because I can't do that. That would violate Brown Act. But I'm going to have my ears all over this and my, you know what I mean? Because that's our responsibility. So even if I can't be part of the subcommittee, I will be ultimately part of the planning commission that approves this, which is even more. So I don't have a problem with that.
And we'll have plenty of opportunity to comment and make our points and disagreements well known, I think, in the future. I'm not worried about it.
I would add in response to that that I do think the Planning Commission's leadership is very important around the design district. And not only did the idea originate here, but it was a way to sort of say we need a more articulate tool than just height. And it's very much about encouraging housing, but my experience has been that oftentimes what you think might encourage housing might not, or it might discourage other kinds of housing. So there needs to be that sort of thoughtful effort, which I think the commission, we can help provide that. The hope is that we can give some shape and form to this without going through a complicated consultant process. And this is the first pass. We'll see how well we do, and then we'll see how the community responds, because the question really is, can we provide enough information to suggest a vision that we can all share in? That's a hard thing to do. And Joe and I have walked it, talked about it. I've walked it with other community members, including Betty. And the idea was to say, does this have potential? What can we do here that would make it work? Mm-hmm. So over the year, we've continued to consider this, talk about it, and see where we might go. So this is not an off-the-cuff thing. This is very much a thoughtful process that we think can be strategic. Joe, did you want to add?
Yeah, I think, you know, without getting too specific, I think I've made my values clear with respect to the downtown, meaning I would love it to be a vibrant pedestrian destination. Affordable housing is, you know, very essential. Preservation is an absolute must, tempered by the always present notion that there are always unintended consequences of a good idea. And so you really have to examine closely all your good ideas to find out what's not so good about them.
Yeah. And, Joe, one of the things, and one of the reasons I told Bill, make your choice, is that I knew you would take those things on. It started, if you look at this thing, it says height. It's not just about height. I hope. Okay, that'll be up to you to make sure that happens. So you just said it. Okay, thank you.
Scott, last words on this so we can close it up.
We had the motion in the second. I'm going to call the vote.
Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Meyer.
Yes.
Commissioner Rodriguez.
Yes.
Commissioner King.
Yes.
Commissioner Ingrafia.
Yes.
Chair Ocean.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Thank you for indulging me.
Yes, thank you very much. I like the clarity. Let's see what we've got left. Planning Commissioner comments, future agenda items. Commissioners, do I hear any?
Yeah, Joe had one. Remember, Joe, you can bring it up or I'll remind you.
Oh, all right. So if we could agendize for the future, talking about alternative locations for these telecommunications facilities in the context of an independent consultant who might shed light on the recommendations of the telecommunications company. I'd like this. I'm always curious as to what might have been the alternative locations that we never heard about. And then, of course, that would be
financed by the telecommunications as part of his application.
And one, I wanted that one to get in. It's in one of the things I wanted to follow up with Scott on was the community benefit. You know, we're going to try to get that done. You know, some remember we're going to get it done by June, I thought.
At the last meeting when we talked about it, Sean Green requested to take a run at putting the policy together out of the almost 30-page memo.
Yeah.
He reached out to me last week and said he's been very busy and hadn't had a chance to look at it, but asked me to give him an example of a couple of policy memos that he could use as the starting point. Mm-hmm. I provided those to him, and hopefully we'll get something back with him you know, in a week or two.
And the reason I'm bringing it up is because I truly believe community benefits will be part of the overall discussion on downtown design district, you know, with sidewalks, you know, streets, all that should come into play as part of the community benefits program that this commission, again, introduced.
I have one other item I'd like to add. We talked about it earlier. If we could reach out to the state housing department and get a representative to give us our information session. Asia's on our subcommittee on housing. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the woman's name? Could you look it up? Can we get that to Scott? This is the woman who gave us the training session.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. If not, I could reach out to Dave Molinax with the League of California Cities. If we're not able to get her, I can maybe get him. So.
And I think HCD has local reps or reps for each.
HCD does, and I want to say PlaceWorks actually works with them, so that might be somebody. Right. An
this woman was HCD staff.
Yeah, this is her job, yeah.
So that's great. If she's able to, then great. But if you give me that, I'll reach out, see what the options are. But there are other options. So it's
And I think that should be a bit of a priority for us, commissioners. Do we agree?
So you're with the intent is to have a public forum?
An hour session of information that basically what she did is she described all the current and upcoming state housing laws, and the changes are substantial.
My only suggestion would be to widely publicize that meeting much more than just the Planning Commission agenda.
How do we do that?
That's my question. We somehow the city, I think, should publicize that meeting so the public can really understand clearly what's happening, because it is fairly significant and not very well understood.
And I'd love to just to do it so that it's in good timing with the downtown design district, because I do think it should be considered.
I mean, like through the water bill, for instance, we send out a flyer in the water bill. My suggestion would be that every water bill gets...
I'll see if we can do it. We have issues with that right now. Just leave it at that.
Okay, but you could let us know about that.
I mean, certainly it's good. It's expensive, and we're working it out right now. I'll just say that. We were going to do it for another thing we were working on and had some issues with it. So I'll definitely look into it, though, and see if we've resolved it.
I think it's a great idea. I don't know how to do it. So.
Yeah, and my idea, too, is if we could do more than just one thing. Announce three other big things in Morro Bay.
So how we would do it is we would do social media posts on the city's social media platforms. We would also do the Notify Me thing that all of the advisory people have signed up for advisory boards of the city council, so we'd probably do all of those and so we can get some folks here. So, yeah. And maybe, you know, we could reach out to some of the other organizations in town to see if we get the word out that way as well, like Chamber, you know, stuff like that.
I have to say that this community is very active on Nextdoor, so might just be able to do some of that.
Oh, that would be just as simple as that. Yeah. Could you coordinate that for us?
Oh, great.
All right. We've got three future items, the state housing information session, community benefit, and then the info session on cell towers. Anything else, commissioners? Scott, development director, anything to add?
I mentioned that we're not having the meeting next time, so you get a break. The meeting after that, we'll have three items. One of them will be another cell tower project, and then there are... it's the cell tower project, a house, and Objective design guidelines for our housing by right policy that we've been working on. We got SB2 and LEAP funding to implement housing element implementation items, and so we've been working on that for a while, and we'll be bringing that forward to get your input on that.
Very nice. Thank you, Scott.
I have a question for Scott.
Please. Sure.
So I believe the council will be finalizing its goals for at their next meeting.
Next Tuesday.
Tuesday?
I hope.
Okay. Yeah, they tried at the last meeting, but they couldn't go beyond like 4 hours or 5 hours. They had already been meeting. So they cut it off, but I believe they'll finalize next Tuesday.
And is it okay, can I add on to your comment, Scott, that you make sure you raise the historic preservation ordinance as a priority of the Planning Commission?
So Cindy Edwards raised it at the last meeting, and I have a meeting with Cindy on Thursday, and I planned on handing her the specific language that came out of the Planning Commission thing, so when she brings it back up at the council meeting, she'll have the, not just like the goal conversation, but the four bullet points that we had underneath it, so she has all that.
Yeah. Perfect. And the idea she had, too, was the fact that it could be included as part of the design district, right, the downtown design. I mean, that's something that came out of her mouth literally. So
she just thought there was connections there.
Good.
I think there's connections between a lot of the goals. So,
sorry, no meeting on the 2nd of May?
Correct.
But a meeting on the 16th,
yes.
But not one on the 30th.
Our meetings are only on the first and third Tuesday of the month.
If we're ready, I'll say goodnight to Terry, Richard, and Betty, and say thank you, Scott. Thank you, commissioners, and we are adjourned.